3-1.
If Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray and a caution comes out, he'll be back on the lead lap.
Vic, join us as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The caution's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
A drag race, they're sideways, and it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's up, everybody? Y'all know what time it is. The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast rolling onto the airwaves. Once again, my name is Eddie Greer III, host of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Y'all know what it's all about. It's all about the latest in all of NASCAR. For those of you tuning in for the very first time, we cover the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports, our tagline for the podcast. And today is the end of the week, Friday, March 8th. We are recording this podcast just as I got off work early. My hours are pretty much done for the week, recording this podcast now as we head into the weekend, a big weekend on the basketball side of things. We'll get to that on the end of the weekend edition of the podcast. And usual, what we added on this year, I will tell you my three things I've learned here in just a moment. You can follow me at EG3_FastCity. Early social media update right there for you. And you can find a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast wherever you get your podcast. Usual Apple Podcast, CastBox. We recently added TuneIn this week to our tools of podcast you can find. Audioboom, iTunes, I already mentioned that. Spotify. Yeah, we're just about everywhere you can find us there. So, yeah, the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast is kicking here. And let's just dive right on in to Business Big D, who joins me here in the 3-Wide garage area. And like usual, we'll just start off with the three things I've learned from last week. Of course, kicking off the West Coast swing at Vegas. And let's just start right at the top with Penske Racing, number one, 3-Wide, with three things that I've learned from Vegas. Penske continues to roll. And we were also recording this while the opening practice of the weekend for the Monster Energy guys ongoing right now in their 1-2. But that's Blaney up top at ISM right now. But up top last week was defending champion, reigning champion, Joey Logano. Very strong throughout last weekend. And of course, bring home the win over Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski won 2 weeks ago at Atlanta. And then last week, Joey Logano held off the hard-charging Keselowski at the final turn to win. And there was a little history made as well right there. But Penske picking up where they left off. I also talked about this in the post-reaction of Vegas earlier this week. If you missed out on that, I encourage y'all to check that out. And also spread the word. Get the 3-Wide podcast out there to the rest of the United States. And we got also a worldly audience as well that Big D told me this week. So a lot of this thing is getting spread out to everybody, or getting out there to everybody who is listening to the podcast, but getting steering the car back onto the racetrack. Penske, four out of its last six, including the championship last year. Logano and Keselowski in the playoffs. And Blaney, who had mishaps, unfortunate mishap on pit road that led him to a 22nd place finish out there last week. He looked at rebound this weekend out there in Arizona. So after Atlanta, all three of those cars led laps in that one. So, and I picked Blaney on a lap track fantasy unfortunately, he had issues that pretty much wrapped up what was the issue slash pit road or get involved in a wreck situation with my picks there. And I'm pretty optimistic about the lap track fantasy picks that I put in this week. So looking forward to that as well. But yeah, Penske continues to roll on here and is showing no signs of slowing down. We look at the board here at the screen that Big D just posted to me. Yeah, Blaney is first right now, followed by Keselowski. 1-2, Logano's in there somewhere. I'm not going to scroll down that far for right now. But yeah, man, Penske right now, those Mustangs on rails right now. And who's going to challenge him? Obviously, heading into ISM this weekend, everybody's mouth is going to be talking about Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick, the last time I looked on that sheet, was ninth. And yes, we're going to get this podcast out either tonight or the morning before I go out to do my road running for the St. Patrick's road race tomorrow morning. So y'all going to be listening to this now. But yeah, we're recording this is looking, you know, Kevin Harvick obviously is always going to be the man at ISM. But there's other people, there's some other drivers up here that have been running pretty good as of late. And a name that you scroll down here and look to see, obviously, strong on short tracks. We found that out a couple years ago. Matthew Benedetta is slowly sitting in here in the sixth spot right now. So everyone talked about is this package, this aero package, talking about bringing the little guys or the not so heavily funded teams to the plate. Yes, Levon Family Racing has that alliance with Joe Gibbs Racing, and DiBenedetto is a good short track racer, so maybe he's going to be a factor in here somewhere this weekend. We don't know as of yet, but you know, some of these guys have got to learn to translate practice over to the race. Practice is one thing, we all understand that, right? All right, so now you turn it, you flip the tables over to the race day, and I called out RCR for the lap track fantasy, and no pun intended, they're getting lashed out early on. But you know, RCR, that's one thing, you showing all that speed all from La Vegas and then not coming short. Yes, the penalty from Austin Dillon hurt, too many men over the wall, but he couldn't even get back through the field with a very fast car. And Daniel Hemric struggled right out of the gate last Sunday. So these guys, some of these guys, they're gonna have to translate, or the crew chiefs one gonna have to learn how to translate that speed from practice, what they've learned. William Byron said the exact same thing in Race Hub this week, that hey, things that we learned on Saturday, I know we're crisscrossing the two, the Vegas and ISM, but it's one thing to be fast on Saturdays, it's another to, you know, translate that or make the proper adjustments and to be right there competitive on Sunday. So yeah, keep paying attention to that as we continue to learn things about this aero package. We move to number two on the What Did I Learn from Las Vegas, and back to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. And yes, there were a lot of eyes when Rich Roush Racing shut down its Xfinity Series program. And that successful program for over the years shut it down to focus solely on those teams. Newman hasn't gotten on board with it yet, but it seems like Ricky Stenhouse Jr., wherever he wants to be competitive, he gives everybody fits, including last week, you know, the week before, Martin Truex Jr. holding him up, and then either that or he focuses solely on giving a hard time with the Joe Gibbs Racing cars. And then last week, racing very aggressively in Ricky Stenhouse fashion, giving Eric Jones the business. And there was contact early, and then there's whole jostling on the radio, which we will actually feature here in just a little bit. If you guys missed Race Hub or whatever, we got you covered here on this preview edition of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. But yeah, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., competitive. He sat on the front row in Atlanta. Things didn't work out there. And finally, the green light went on. Brian Patton, those guys, they got to be, you throw them in that category as well. You're fast on Saturday, but can you translate that to the Sunday race day speed on Sundays, and maybe he's getting it to his head a little bit, but let's just slow down for a little bit. Just one race. Obviously, Stenhouse, we think of him, obviously, as being the super, super, super aggressive driver out there. Obviously, we also kind of forget, even including myself included, that he's a champion from the Xfinity Series. Not only that, but I believe a two-time champion, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's a two-time champion in the Xfinity Series. So there's a lot of hype around Stenhouse coming up the cup. Is he going to be this next big old thing? And somewhat, he and Trevor Bayne, not in cup or NASCAR, period, at the moment right now. And also, while I'm stuck on this Ross Fenway way, there was apparently, I listened to a podcast I recently just added to my collection of podcasts. My podcast selection is growing by the week, but I was listening to something. I can't call out, I'm not for sure who this was, whatnot, but they found, somebody talked about Greg Biffle being found somewhere, either racing some old trucks or whatnot. I might be wrong about that, but yeah, so the last time I talked about Biffle, he was nowhere to be found, and I found him on Twitter finally, doing his own. I mean, he's been fishing and all that lately, but Greg Biffle was a fan, wanted to get a picture of Greg Biffle, whatever. I don't know where this was. I believe it was in Mexico. Big D is saying yes to that. So, yeah, we found Greg Biffle on Twitter, folks. So, it's been quite some time. And obviously, he was in that whole little situation last year and all that other stuff. I'm not going to dive all into that stuff right now. But, yeah, the lost Greg Biffle, Trevor Bayne, nowhere to be found. I'm surprised he didn't get picked up, really, to be honest with you, for even the Xfinity ride. So that was, I want to say, not surprising at all, but a little shock that he's not around. A good guy off the track, obviously. A Christian and all that, awesome. But on a racetrack, you know, had his struggles for sure. Obviously, you know, the Cinderella story, the upset of the Daytona 500. He got that on his belt, but other than that, he didn't do much at all. So, Ross Fenway Racing, Ryan Newman, and there's been some prospects this week that some people think that Ryan Newman can get back to victory lane. And that's the last time he got back to victory lane at ISM when the track was flipped the original style. Ryan Newman, Luke Lambert, went to strategy game and knocked off Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, and won. That's the last time he won a race right here. So we'll see what happens on that front. But yeah, Ross Fenway Racing, we'll see if they can be consistent. That's really the issue with this organization. You know, they're fat and consistent. I mean, Ricky Stenhouse, we've seen flashes of fast and being aggressive from Stenhouse when he wanted to be, obviously, all the time. And the drivers, they don't like it. Fans, some of the fans that I've read comments on Twitter and all that stuff, they don't like it. Well, I don't like it either. And especially in some situations, like I talked about last week, referring to Atlanta, that's been well documented. But we'll see. Stenhouse is going to be a factor. And keep an eye on Ryan Newman. Ryan Newman finished like 24th or something along those lines somewhere last week at Vegas. So I know Ryan Newman's getting used to the new team and whatnot. So can they be a little bit more consistent? And the third and final thing with the three wide, what did I learn from Vegas? It's got to go back to the Xfinity Series. The trucks are off for a little bit. So we turn our attention to the Xfinity and Chris Bell, C-Bell, that I always call in the podcast, and Tyler Reddick giving fits. And I might as well throw in John Hunter Nemechek in here, challenging Kyle Busch for the win last week and falling short of that. Tyler Reddick nearly gained lead on Kyle Busch in overtime, and then he got sucked around and collected. And then John Hunter Nemechek, and the comments that he said, you know, we're tired of getting beat by Kyle Busch, tired of getting beat by Kyle Busch. Well, we got beat by Kyle Busch once again, and Kyle Busch is in the Xfinity Series field once again for tomorrow's race. So, they got some work to do, but they're there. I mean, when you take out Kyle Busch or Keselowski or whatever, more particularly Kyle Busch, you know, we got some studs. And I mentioned this over the offseason. the Cole Custers, the Justin Allgaiers, obviously the Christopher Bells, Tyler Reddick, next to the world, John Nemechek, and even before, you know, Rochefort Racing shut it down, their Xfinity program, and even Ganassi with the whole DC Solar situation, it was going to be pretty stacked, and it still is, but what might have been, this thing could have been well stacked, but it ain't. I mean, it still is, but, you know, it's what if situation if, you know, Ganassi and DC Solar would have straightened up from the beginning or whatever, and then Roush Fenway would have kept the Xfinity program with Ryan Reed and company. Who knows what happens, but we still have the Xfinity series is going to be pretty interesting. Ryan Truex is in the field this week, driving that number 8 for Junior Motorsports. For those of you who don't not know, that is Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s team, Junior Motorsports. So that's going to be interesting to see how Ryan does, in a competitive car there for Junior Motorsports, but absolutely missed opportunity there to beat the best. I pretty much say this every week. In order to beat the best, you got to beat the best. And you've heard it saying over and over and over again, folks. Now, who's going to take down Kyle Busch this week? Obviously, I mean, Cole Custer, strong off the gates. C. Bell, the last time we were at ISM Raceway, Christopher Bell, had to start from the rear, and he was on the outside looking in, like some 10 points or whatever, and he was about to be done. And plus had a gap to make up, and he did just that from the back of the field to win that race, and obviously punched the ticket to the championship four round in the Xfinity Series. That is the last time we saw Christopher Bell out here in the Xfinity Series do work, and now you got to deal with Kyle Busch once again. So Kyle Busch continue every time he's in, and majority, I know he's on that track to 200 wins or whatever, but Kyle Busch, almost half of his wins to this journey of 200 coming out of this Xfinity Series. I think it's like 90 plus something wins for Rowdy Busch, and he's going to be looking to pat on another one here tomorrow afternoon out there at ISM Raceway. You're sitting the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, Eddie Gritter III, here with you guys on this weekend preview edition of the podcast. Looking forward to ISM round 2 of the West Coast trip after Las Vegas last week. And so, those guys, they're right there. There's no question. When you take out Kyle Busch, they're going to be players constantly. You ought to know that by now. I know when you look at the second half of the entry list, they're not really competitive teams out there, but they're paying their dues. They're out there. They still want to race, so you give them that. But over half of that, the guys that we see, they're going to be right in the mix. And somebody, I don't know who it is yet, as Big D is turning it over to the standings real quick. Well, first the schedule, then we'll dive into the standings real quick. But when you look at that, I mean, yeah. So, Kyle Busch, take him out of the picture. Cole Custer, C. Bell, yeah, that's the fact the train I was on before I lost it for a moment, but I'm back on it now, folks. Justin Allgaier, these guys, Allgaier looking to bounce back from a blown motor last week. These are the guys, Austin Cindric, these are the guys that you're going to be looking at each and every week in the Xfinity Series. Tomorrow afternoon on FS1, MRN has coverage on the radio this weekend for both races. The IK9 Service Dog 200. That's a 3 o'clock local time start here in Kansas, 4 o'clock Eastern time. The West Coast, y'all, if y'all listening out there, which we have a heavy fans out there, y'all know what it is. Y'all can figure it out yourselves out there. Kyle Busch is going to be looking to add another win and get himself closer to the Magical 200. And then, of course, next time the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series will be on the track, we'll be in Martinsville in a couple of weeks, March 23rd at Martinsville, back to the March Entry NASCAR Cup Series, the Ticket Guardian 500, 2:30 local start, Sunday afternoon on Fox. And if you want to mark this down, you can. I marked this down. ISM, the short track that it is, I believe we're going to be seeing a lot more action than we have been seeing with the new aero stuff. The last 2 weeks, we've been seeing nothing of cautions, and I'm going to put a number up here in a little bit, up or over or under a certain amount of caution that we're going to see or going to see. So, Cup guys, back at it. Penske looking to make it 3 in a row. Can they do it, or will Kevin Harvick continue his dominance on this ISM track, or will somebody else step up and challenge the Penske's racing and get themselves to the point where they can contend for the victory that Sunday afternoon here out there in ISM. Now, going back to the standings, the Xfinity Series, Christopher Bell has an 18-point lead over Cole Custer. Actually, it's a tie for a second between the 00 car and the 2 car reigning series champion Tyler Reddick. Brandon Jones sitting there in the 4th spot, trying to bounce back from a hard hit last week. And Michael Annette, your Daytona winner, is in the top 5 in that one. And then you switch gears to the Cup side, your reigning series champion, your defending champion, Logano leads by 2 over Harvick. Your Daytona 500 champion, Denny Hamlin, 3rd. Kyle Busch, 4th. And Keselowski sitting there in the top 5, banking the top 5 right there. So a lot of their stuff going on right there. So looking forward to some activity at ISM. And some drivers, obviously, that we covered already. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, topping the charts right there. And you look at the last couple of races since going, this is dating back to 17 that I'm looking at on the top of our screen down here. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, average finish through 3rd and 4th respectively down up here. Truex there, up there as well. You don't know what you're going to get from him. Eric Almirola, this guy is kind of intriguing to me for this weekend. He's sitting up there in the top 5 as far as top 15 is concerned heading into this weekend. Keselowski, we've talked about him quite a bit on the podcast today. Sitting there, Eric Jones. So, looking at the mile and a half, not the mile and a half, though, a mile, 1 mile tracks out there. So, and then we would go back, we rewind ourselves back a little bit to last November in the playoff situation where Kevin Harvick, coming off that penalty, had to race his way into the field. He did that, and it looked like he was going to dominate again, and then he had that tire issue, and then he had to rally back Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch, at one point, was in, and then obviously he, Denny Hamlin, and Chase Elliott were all in that wreck there, and pretty much heartbroken. Kurt Busch was heartbroken there and did not advance to the final 4 at Homestead. At that point, Kyle Busch did it, and I actually thought Eric Almirola finished 2nd. So I was wrong there on that aspect. Eric Almirola finished 4th last November, last time we were at Phoenix out there with the reversible new track. Keselowski finished in the 2nd spot. This is one of the places where Keselowski struggles a little bit, but he's kind of turning around, and we talked about him again. That's been a common theme on the podcast so far today. Keselowski finished 2nd, won the race last week at Atlanta, at 2 weeks ago at Atlanta, excuse me, 2nd last week. And I believe he was 2nd in the opening practice, and was 2nd last November. So there's been a difference right there. Kyle Larson with 3rd, Almirola 4th, Harvick 5th punch in his ticket to Miami right there. And then you look at this back of this half of this top 10. McMurray retired, finished 6th. Kenseth retired, finished 7th. A.D. Austin Dillon finished in the 8th spot. William Byron finished in the 9th spot, and Bubba Wallace coming home with the top 10 finish there, rounding out the top 10. So, yeah, this track, I mean, that was with the old stuff last year. And, yeah, you look at it this year, it's still kind of a wild card, so you don't know really know what you're going to get. You know, everybody's talking about this pack racing. It's things like World Street pack racing. We saw it earlier. You know, I won't necessarily call it pack racing, but we saw cars more closer together, not deeper in the run. We usually see what we see in races every week, which cars spread out and getting lapped down. So, if you're not in the ball game early, If your car ain't handling well, you're going to get pretty much the same treatment. Go and go a lap down. But, yeah, so they look at it right there. And a couple I'm going to keep an eye on. I already mentioned one of them for this weekend. That and the person of Eric Almirola and the other guy that I'm paying attention to, Chase Elliott. Some of the guys to keep an eye on. Obviously, we know the main players who are going to be fast over there in Arizona this weekend, Big D. But looking at some of the undercards here on Marola, and I'm going to go ahead and throw in the 95 in here as well. You know, when you're on shorter tracks, I don't know how this is going to play out, but prior to running this new stuff, you know, it don't mean much or whatnot, you know, how much ever it is. But this is a combination of things when you're going out to the ISM and that start-finish line is on a back straightaway, or I should say sitting in the middle of that back straightaway. And there's a lot of things going to happen out there. Certainly, we're going to see more action than that coming up this weekend. So I believe, and remember that I say the over-under? We're going to get to that right now before we transition ourselves to behind the wheel segment. I'm going to go, and since we haven't had, outside of the regular stage cautions, we haven't had much go on besides that, especially last week out there, but we're on more shorter terms, and I believe we're going to see a lot more action, activity, more beating, banging, and I think we're going to see some crashes this weekend, and I'm going to put the over under 7 here this weekend for cautious concern. Yes, that includes the stage break, so we already got up to on that. So I'm gonna go with the touchdown 7. So up over or be under 7. And judging off from what I've seen, we're gonna get some more cautions this weekend. And we're talking particularly with the Cup guys. We've seen our share of cautions with the Xfinity, especially late in the race last week at Vegas out there. But it's really hard to judge. I really think we're going to see some activity going here in this case. And I'm going to go just for the over. Yeah, I'm going to go 1 over that. I'm going to say 8 cautions this week. There's not going to be double-digit cautions. I don't think we're going to see that. I think it's going to be 8. So count the 2 stage breaks, and we're going to get 6 action cautions. So, yeah, I'm going out on a little limb. So, I mean, we haven't gotten the cautions, but I think as this thing goes along here, I think people are going to catch on a little bit with this new aero stuff, and we're going to see some beating bang for sure. So people moving people out of the way, and restarts are going to be hectic. I believe we're going to see a lot since cost macked more activity this weekend. So I'm going to go with 8. And you can come back to me. We'll obviously have a post-race reaction next week of the race weekend. So we'll mark that down, Big D. And we'll come back to that next week. So that's a kind of a look at what to look for at ISM, obviously, what to do, different turns and whatnot. Obviously, turn 1 and 2, when it used to be turn 3 is turn 1, the flattest, and then going into the final turn, it looks like, yeah, we're going to see some epic battles, 4, 5, maybe punch it 5 wide to the start-finish line down there. So, activity is going to be picking up here at ISM this weekend. Penske, can it go 3 in a row, or will someone else rise to the occasion here and pick up their first victory of the 2019 campaign? All right, I've been teasing this a little bit here. Behind the Wheel is back, which for some of you who don't know what that is, it's kind of the radioactive-ish of the podcast where we kind of look back at the week of Vegas. Obviously, this is from NASCAR Race Hub, but they call it Radioactive, but I call it Behind the Wheel. We're going to be going behind the wheel of the driver's mindset, what they're thinking, what they're saying, obviously, crew chiefs and all, about Vegas and what happened there. So we're adding that back to the mix here. If you missed Radioactive from Race Hub earlier this week or whatever, we got you covered right here. So we're going to let it fly right now. And when we come out of the intermission timeout, Big 12 race going to go down. It ends tomorrow afternoon. For right now, oh, yeah, there you go. We got it all set now, I believe. Time to get your game on. Behind the wheel, Vegas style. Here we go.
Ready to race in Las Vegas. We are just not sure what to expect.
You're going to have to be mentally tough.
We come to win.
Have fun.
Sideways. This is a great time. Thank you, guys.
Made it to lap 8.
Freaking dirty air, man. It's awful.
Tight. Come to me next time. 3, 2, 1.
If gave us a black flag, how did we do that?
There's no way it could have been too many men, could it?
They're saying that somebody behind the wall had their hand on pit road. I don't have anything to disprove it, and if Brian didn't do me any good if I did.
Pit cycle's complete, back on lead lap, run 7th.
Step car out of the way.
Stay fighting hard, my man.
Flat right rear, something.
And Ryan Blaney is back in for a stop.
Left rear was flat.
Hard. Austin.
Show what you're doing now. They're holding 20 off right here. Time outside here. Still inside.
Contact Derek Jones and Ricky Stenhouse.
He's a smart man.
Like a man. Jesus Christ.
Tempo, you slow down enough, let the left gear burn.
You left it off, buddy. Go.
We're junk.
Left side caved in.
You have a little damage.
Yeah, you can take the 17.
Let's talk bad about him at Daytona. You got off the approval list.
Oh, this battle's not over yet.
It's a long day. That 17 is going to have to not be such of a dumbass.
Kevin Harvick, Dale Claim, stage number 1.
Good job. Japan,
green flag.
Hit this time.
Get all 4 below. Give it. All red.
Yeah, there's no way.
Close the 18, too fast centering.
We're lead lap yet, right?
Oh, we're lap down. We have to do it faster. We'll have to wave around at the break here.
Green checker right there.
Logano, our stage 2 winner.
Ready. Green.
Austin, if you get to him, just do what you can to try to keep some air on the nose.
Oh,
okay, do what you want.
34 kilometers.
3 laps down.
He's got the wall a little bit off of 2. Check my damage.
Really tight.
Too tight.
Old girl's tongue's hanging out, man. I'm pushing as hard as he'll go.
22's got a vibration.
You mean that way I have a little vibration here?
Everybody says they're good here.
All of our tests look tight.
Of course. 3 tenths faster than 9. Fastest car on the track, actually.
What the heck is he doing? Damn it!
Guess he's not willing to help us, huh?
He can't help himself.
Use him right there.
He's 30 miles an hour faster than me, bud. He ain't gonna hold him off forever. He's gonna get wrecked.
I stopped the whole time. Can we try that?
The f*** right up around the bar. How do you think it's gonna go faster on the bar?
Come on.
Bruh.
I hear movement from Harvick. Focus on Joey here.
What the f***?
Very good. Obviously another driver here that f***ed us today. Son of a f***.
Rolling back. Going to the bottom here.
It's going to have to be a slide job. Man, he made that look easy.
Splitting bottom, same move he tried before. He's up a lane one.
You'll see him here in a second. Coming back even with you. No threat out back. You can drive off of him.
Well, if these two keep this up, they're going to have company.
Jesus, Austin. Take a damn lane. My God.
White flag, one more.
Oh, big run here.
Think he's going to be right there.
There he comes up to you right on your side. Pulling him clear. All clear. Check the flag right here, Vegas.
Joey Logano scores his first win.
Yeah, baby. Let's get it.
Awesome job, everyone.
I think this thing would look good to the grass and the pencil logo. But so close, so low, about the on time. Good job.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3 Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the 3Y NASCAR podcast. That started off wrong. Itchy 3, he was the guys. Eddie Ritter third for a few more minutes. We previewed ISM a little bit today. The weekend edition of the podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. The Gainer Outdoor Truck Series off for a couple weeks. Xfinity Series back on track tomorrow at ISM. And the Ticket Guardian 500 going down this Sunday out there in Phoenix Raceway, a.k.a. ISM Raceway. So, Big D, before we get into that, social media update once again real quick. Before I forget, you can follow me at EG3_fast. Eddie, and remember, giveaway at 350 still on tap. So there is that as well. Giveaway at 350. First ever giveaway for the podcast. You can find the 3Wire NASCAR podcast with EG3 wherever you get your podcast. Excuse me. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, Castbox, TuneIn. I can name them all, but we got time for that. And all, obviously, iTunes. If you would, please leave us a 5-star rating. Get those out there as well. And all, and obviously, spread a word about the 3Wire NASCAR podcast. Obviously, we are a movement full of NASCAR podcasts out there. And we're fortunate enough to be one of those shows out here in the national world out here, and very, very appreciated to continue to do this, what I love to do on my part of my free time is do this right here with y'all and talk NASCAR with you guys each and every week. So I appreciate y'all, everyone that has listened to the 3Wire NASCAR podcast. And again, for those of you who do not have this on your menu or part of your NASCAR subscription or whatever you want to call it, get with it, join the movement on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. And now to end the weekend preview, obviously. And I've been talking about this a lot the last few weeks. Obviously, the Big 12. The Big 12 race is going to end tomorrow. And I've said all along, once we lost to KU, even before we lost on the road in Lawrence, we lost that game. We're going to share that title with Tech. And I still believe that for 100%. For that, Big D, I told you yesterday, coming from the barber shop, the guy who cuts my hair, Mike, shout out on the podcast, Mike, and he was funny yesterday. I never see he in that kind of mood, but we got something going, so I like that. But anyways, him, and another customer who came in at the back end of my haircut said something of this. And I read this somewhere also this week that Iowa State and Texas Tech, or one of those two teams, are going to win the Big 12. Now, I got one problem with that. Iowa State, where you at? Y'all have, since beating us at home a few weeks ago, they have tanked. I'm not saying the Raiders tank. I'm saying they have been beaten by some pretty bad teams. And this week, they lost to the worst team, or was the worst team in all of the Big 12, the West Virginia Mountaineers. And then Baylor ended up the same night losing to the worst team. So they, West Virginia and Oklahoma State, traded wins, knocking off Baylor. Now, this Big 12 tournament is going to be something next week. When we get to Kansas City, it's going to be on. But we're pretty much, you know, everyone's saying, including myself included, think that Tech is in the driver's seat to win at least the Big 12 tournament. Because right now, as least as the regular season goes, they're just going to be locked in the title. I cannot trust. And the early game tomorrow, when you look at it, TCU at Texas going there, that doesn't matter much. Maybe for seeding concern. Go down here to the list. That's the only 11 o'clock. And remember, 11 o'clock is local time here in Manhattan, Kansas Central Time Zone area, for those of you who do not know. And then go down here, a couple of 1 o'clock games down here, and the one we're going to all be paying attention to, Texas Tech at Iowa State. Now, I had a little hope for Iowa State to do that, but, you know, for all what it is, and everybody's saying, you know, it's Iowa State's house in KC, you know, Iowa State's got some issues right now. is on the court, personnel-wise, you know, Jacobson getting into it with Horton Tucker the other night. Horton Tucker slouching. You know, I don't know right now. This Iowa State team right now, yeah, they get the onus on them is, yeah, they can shoot the ball well, but when their backs are against the wall, they can't do anything right. And the proof was in the pudding when West Virginia put them asleep. So, I don't know what's happened, but since being the Wildcats, our Wildcats, they haven't done anything. And they're at once a threat to be a part of that Big 12 conversation. They're not anymore. And even every Wildcat fan tomorrow, or on their free time or whatever, they're going to be paying attention to this game. And whatever hope I did have for Iowa State is pretty much get the gas on E, on that. I don't think it's going to happen. Tech has been the best team in all the Big 12 the last few weeks. The way they have played since getting throttled by KU there, they returned the favor. They creamed pretty much every other team. You pretty much, Big D, you're a part of this and saying, you know, we played them at the right time. Even they beat us by 6 on their home floor before we turned the favor on them. But, you know, there's other people than Jared Culver on that team. You know, they have Owen, the shot blocker, Owens, that he knows how to score, and they just know how to share the ball well. Mooney, a few other guys, Francis, and all those guys, Chris Beard, those guys, they have gotten the ship in full gear now. They're set. They have been set sailing on everybody, and I will not be surprised. And I've said this all along, Tech, I think they're going to take care of business, and which really will set the stage, the final game, Big 12 game of the year. K is us, K State, and what a situation this is going to be. Oklahoma's been rolling here the last couple of games here, including putting the beat down, the ass kicking of Kansas. Kansas, I'm not going to go there with that reporter that tweeted that stuff earlier this week, but Oklahoma, and, you know, that scares me a little bit. I mean, yeah, you know, you look at their record, yeah, you know, they're under 500 in conference play. When you look at overall wise, 19-11 coming in here. And as we switch over the screens here, 7-10 in conference play, and overall 19-11. If Texas were to lose their game against TCU, Oklahoma, if they put the upset on us tomorrow night on senior night, which, oh boy, you know, this is a golden opportunity for K-State to add on to the legacy of the threesome of the seniors, this awesome senior class that has been tremendous to watch their growth from being the sorry team that we were while they're freshmen to where we are right now and the possibilities ahead. Yeah, this is a chance that you have to seize. And I'm going to steal Jared Culver's words. You know, this is an opportunity, even though these two teams could likely share the Big 12 title, you got to take advantage of it. And I still don't see it happening, but if Tech were to stumble in Ames, oh my goodness, this has the college football type of atmosphere to this thing. I know it's basketball, but either way, Brand Message is going to be lit up. It should be. I mean, this is what you work for. And one of the guys on our sports talk show, on our sports talk radio show, called out the fans a couple weeks ago saying they weren't loud enough. Well, you know what? If you're in the area or whatever, you're going to the game tomorrow afternoon / evening, you better bring your A game, because with Oklahoma, this team can light it up with a 3-point range. We dominated them on their home floor. In Oklahoma, they're going to be coming with that spoiler mentality. And let's not take it for granted, Manhattan Nation, Wildcat Nation out there, for a moment, while I'm on this horse for a moment. Get there, be like, and I don't know what it is. You know, yes, KU, we're live for that game. I understand the significance of that game. I've always have since moving up here, since being part of this awesome community. But, you know, for certain games, and particularly the Iowa State game a few weeks ago, the crowd was inconsistent or whatnot. So I'm kind of putting the crowd on blast, if we will, student section or whatever. I mean, there's got to be some way to bring that KU mentality to this game. We have all of it on the line, a number one seed online. But from what it looks like, a number one seed, even with the shared title, a number one seed in the Big 12 men's tournament next week. We got that going, and we continue to bump up with the resume to try to get a better seed for the NCAA tourney. So we got all that out there. And the last time we won a conference title, we shared it with KU back in my senior year, Big D, ladies and gentlemen, senior year of my college career at K-State. That is the last time we won at least a share of the title. And oh boy, we love to clinch it at home. I don't think back in 13, I can't remember exactly where we clinched it. I believe it was on the road. I want to say it was on the road. And I believe, yeah, we won that game on the road. Bruce Rowe was talking about it last night, actually. We caught the back end of the radio show. You're listening to the Three Wide NASCAR podcast. We talked NASCAR earlier. We're wrapping this thing up with basketball. Big 12 basketball. Some big time games tomorrow. Tech, Iowa State at 1 o'clock local time. And then we end the Big 12 season tomorrow night here in the MHK, Manhattan, Kansas. But yeah, we ended it. And we direct, I believe, I want to say, no, I want to say it was on the road, but I can't remember who it was. So, obviously, you know, for we have a golden opportunity to make some huge damage and to get the Big 12 championship. And, oh, by the way, KU, not a part of this equation, so not anymore. That 14 season streak, over. For Kansas, so all the attention is going to be on Tech and K-State tomorrow night. So a lot to look forward to. And obviously I mentioned I'm going to be a part of, this is going to be my first time participating in the St. Patrick's Road Race. Obviously it's not St. Patrick's Day, obviously, where it's the 8th, not the 17th. But here in Manhattan, Kansas, they have a rich tradition here. And last weekend they celebrated the old, you know, fake Paddy's Day or whatever. And now, the weekend after is St. Patrick's, quote-unquote, the parade. We're following after the races and such. And I'm looking forward to participating in that. And, yeah, and then I'm looking forward to a big race for myself here in a couple, probably, actually, the big race that I've run to this point. But I'm setting the stage for tomorrow, so this weekend is going to be pretty big as well. So I'm very much looking forward to tonight and tomorrow. Big 12 is going to be settled and we'll have the seats for you. And before we go, real quick, obviously I want to give the K-State women's team again another shout out. They are rolling with a 5-game winning streak to their Big 12 tournament, which starts this weekend. They're playing West Virginia, who they knocked off at Bramlage few days ago. So they're going to start off with that, and right now they're clicking on all cylinders, and they're pretty much, Big D, you said it, I said it, they're pretty much a lock now for the NCAA tourney, and it'll be nice to see them get another one here to really solidify that statement. But they needed those wins late in the year. K-State got them, and the ladies got them, I should say. And now they're in big-time position here, maybe to get another one here. But they're on neutral ground. So that's going to be interesting. We'll see how they fare. I believe that game is at 11 o'clock local time down there in Oklahoma. So Big 12 basketball, postseason basketball pretty much is upon us now with the games tomorrow. And then the ladies are, well, while I'm on my run in the St. Patrick's race, they're going to be playing while I'm be running. So we'll try to sneak in there and watch the rest of that game afterwards. So, but as far as the NASCAR side, first, if you want to call it a short track, you can. It is what it is. But ISM Raceway, a lot's at stake, obviously. For this point, Harvick, we know the dominance there. Kyle Busch, other players are going to be a factor in the Xfinity race. Can C-Bell, Tyler Reddick, John Nemechek, Tyler Reddick get their revenge on Kyle Busch, or Kyle Busch get one more win closer to 200? Big D, let's break this down, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap things up this week for the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, the weekend edition. Big D, thanks for your help here, coming over a little bit earlier than normal to record this podcast. Thank you. My name is Eddie Greer III, saying thank you guys for tuning in this week to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Remember, the post-race reaction to Vegas is already up. You've missed that. I encourage you to check that out before you listen to this one. Get caught up and enjoy the races this weekend. While here, if you're listening here, which we've had quite a bit of listeners here, adding up here as of late here in Manhattan, Kansas. Let's get ourselves a Big 12 title. And race fans out there, enjoy ISM. And who will pick up the chariot flag this weekend? We out.
Show wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3 Wide.